Now, last time we were together, just a week ago, we were in Matthew chapter 21. And we had seen, after Jesus having cleansed the temple, that he had healed the blind and the lame. Confirmation that he had every right and the authority to cleanse the temple. And as he would leave, the children, recognizing the wonderful works that he had performed, were praising him. Hosanna to the Son of David. And remember, we had discussed that despite what the priests and scribes would say and complain about, they had every right and it was completely appropriate for the children to be praising Jesus in this manner. And secondly, we had discussed how the children were simply looking at the example of their parents and those around them. Because earlier in the day, as Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, they were screaming and declaring, "Hosanna to the Son of David." So the children, very unlikely that they understood exactly what they were saying, the claims that they were making, but it was appropriate and it was right. And we discussed also just the example that can go outside of these walls, outside of Christian families, to where we can get people and draw them in and give them the right example. And I know that we would all agree that the spiritual education and training up of the young, training them up in the ways of the Lord, is of the utmost importance. And last week, you know, congregation where we worship, Baldwin, we had a successful Bible school. There were many children that came and seeds were planted and things were learned. But this lesson is focused on going from something like Bible school, something that's very foundational, and how to move from there to faith. And because what we can look at is we teach kids or teach people, even the godless of the community or those that are erring, and as we convert them to Christ, we can teach them Bible stories. But if that's all that it is, then it's just a very surface level thing. And there's no faith that's going to be produced that's going to stand and be strong and steadfast in the trials of life. So we're looking at, in this, you know, brief period of study, well, how do we go from Bible stories and foundational learning to strong, steadfast faith that can withstand the trials of life? And so we look at examples in the Bible, stories like Daniel and his three friends. And that's the example that we're going to focus on this evening. You know, stories like this, we do teach our children. And what we have to be careful of is that they become so familiar to us that sometimes we treat them in a trite manner. To where it's, yeah, I know it and it's there. But we forget that we need the context and the connection to the message within the entire book. So we may know the story, but we may not understand, or the people that we're teaching or the young person understand what God is really trying to communicate. It's not about just remembering who did what and certain facts and the comprehension, the level one, the surface level, which is where a lot of people want to stay. It's about going deeper into the complexity of what God wants to reveal through that particular story and the things surrounding it within the text. And then that is where we need to obviously be able to go. So with Daniel and his three friends, thinking about the situation and the things that Daniel would handle, Daniel, taken out of his own land and taken to a foreign country. And think about the things they did to try to separate him from what he was familiar with and try to brainwash them and bring new allegiances. Well, if we're going to understand what they were trying to accomplish, we first need to understand what Nebuchadnezzar's worldview was. Seeing himself as a god and his gods being conquerors of Israel and their God. And so when they try to separate them from their former allegiances, they were using tactics like changing their name. Think about what a meaningfulness a name or a label is for people upon this earth. People will live up or live down to a name. So if you take someone's name away, you're hurting their identity. You give them something new, something that connects to other things. And it's a way of brainwashing. And that's exactly what they were trying to do. Giving them certain instructions that would play into the way that they did things with their gods. Another way of trying to brainwash them and take them away from what they knew. Jewish boys among many others. And then lastly, one of probably the strongest tactics If you do what we want you to do, you'll have some of the finest foods at the king's table. I mean, just imagine. If you're one of the children that would do as they wanted you to, then you'd be eating the finest beef in the kingdom. Whereas Daniel and some of the others that would resist are eating squash. Not squash casserole. Not that delicious squash that's got the spicy sausage and mixed in there with the crackers and the cheese melted over the top. Just squash. Meal after meal after meal. And so when you think about what Daniel had to endure, well, what's the message that God is trying to communicate as we read this type of story or this story? Well, you have Nebuchadnezzar's view as a god and his god being a conqueror of Israel and their god. And as you read the story, the entire book, you see God demonstrating to us that he alone rules in the kingdom of men. Chapter 4, verse 17. He alone, not Nebuchadnezzar and his false perception of himself and the other gods and their position over Israel, over God's chosen people and God himself. No. God alone rules in the kingdom of men. And interwoven throughout this story is that God can use a few, the faith of a few, to impact many. David would go on to change kings. It's just a young boy at one time, taken to a distant land, succumbed to brainwashing. But yet he stood firm. But through standing firm and having a faith that could withstand these trials and remain true and steadfast, he had the impact that God would like all of us to have in some degree. Because you can think, David, among his friends, they could have maintained a quiet faith. They could have kept their faith and just went along with some of the things and rationalized that, well, we're helpless. We're captives. I mean, God, he surely got to understand this is a difficult situation. And y'all have heard people do that before. Make excuses, rationalize their actions, knowing that when you put them up against God's word, they are not right. And so the question that just must be asked is, how do you cultivate that type of faith? What is the key to teaching a young person, taking them from Bible stories to the type of faith that's going to stand true? I mean, you think about Daniel and their friends. If you took one of our young people, take a teenager, and just take them to a foreign land and subject them to that type of brainwashing, if that's my child, are they ready? Are they going to be able to stand strong in the faith like Daniel? Or do they just know some Bible stories? And that's what this is about. We have to be able to move from just knowledge to a faith that's ready to stand strong and steadfast. Well, how do you do that? How do you go from Bible stories and Bible school and congregating and learning to a faith that goes out into the school, out into the workplace, and is able to stand strong? Well, looking at Daniel's life is the key. And where it begins is the purpose. Daniel never saw himself as a captive. He saw himself as a representative of God. Daniel understood his purpose, his identity. So when he was taken from his homeland and taken to a foreign country, nothing changed about Daniel. He was still God's representative, and now he had a different opportunity to demonstrate to the people around him who his God was. And he wasn't going to be able to do that by subjecting himself to their gods and their way of living. He would have to remain who he was and remain in the faith. And that's why he was very, I wouldn't say easily, but it was of his nature because of his understanding of his identity and purpose to be able to know, I don't need your beef. I'll eat the squash or whatever it would be and receive it in a joyful manner, just like James talks about receiving trials with joy. Not because it's, yay, this is fun, but because they understand the eternal nature of our decisions and the consequences. Daniel understood who he was, his identity, his purpose. I was reading recently in an article written by a gospel preacher, and he talks about this particular event in his life, and that it still burns in his memory some 60-something years later. Happened to him when he was 4 years old, and he's in his late 60s, probably early 70s at this point, been preaching the gospel for close to 50 years. But he says it was a Wednesday evening. His mother, who's 26 at the time, had contracted chickenpox. So she's lying on the couch and has got some lotion on the different places trying to deal with the symptoms. And his father had taken him by the hand and they're walking to the door, going to get, you know, going to leave for evening worship. And the mother just, why don't you leave him with me tonight? And the father just stopped and turned with just a steady stare and with firmness. He is not sick. And then out the door. And the gospel preacher said that there were no more issues about that. But moving forward, you know, the little league and all the things that come, it was never a question. He said he had developed an understanding to where he didn't desire, because he would have been violating his own conscience to go and do these other things instead of being with Christians and studying the Bible and worshiping. And it's because his dad, not only making a stand such as that, which is simple within your own home, but also taking the time to teach his son in the manner that we're talking about right now, so that his son would understand his identity, his purpose. It's not to be here to play Little League, these temporary things. When a state championship sits on the wall, it's going to burn. Those things will burn. But this calls for God. This is eternal. So when we teach our young people or our erring or godless in the community identity and purpose, then when you have the worldly pleasures and the worldly pursuits, it's not a matter of trying to persuade them that this is better. It's an understanding of, I make the decision for the cause for God because I can, with joy, we talked about, not the yay joy, but the understanding of the eternal consequences. That I'm making a decision that's eternally storing up a reward for me that's much greater than a piece of wood sitting on a shelf. And that comes back to identity and purpose. And so that's where we have to be able to go. Whether it's the young person, the godless, or the erring. If we don't establish that, then when those decisions come, they have just much likelihood to think of it just like the worldly person as anybody else that's been in the building listening to stories and reading the Bible for however long. So we have to take them there. Now, that brings us to the understanding of identity within the world, though. And so that really comes back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. If you have your Bibles, you can look at this, but what it brings us to is an understanding of what is really going on a day-to-day basis in the spiritual realm. Not here in the physical, but in the spiritual realm. Because as we know, you have the offspring of the serpent contending against the offspring of God, or the offspring of the woman, as it would read exactly in Genesis 3, verse 15. But as it says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. And so when we're teaching our young people, or teaching the godless or the erring of the community, they have to come to an understanding that we're either one or the other. We're either the offspring of the serpent, or we're the offspring of the woman. There is no straddling of the fence. And there is spiritual warfare on a daily basis. Think about this in physical terms of this life. if we were studying or considering the ways of soldiers. You know, if there hadn't been a war for a decade, then you might have some complacent soldiers. They might struggle to go out and be serious about their work and their preparation, because they're thinking, there hasn't been a war for 10 years. I don't see anyone coming. And so they might have the tendency to go through the motions. Well, if we don't train our young people, or we don't train the people of the community that are not in this knowledge and understanding that there's a war going on, you're going to see complacency. You're going to see people that don't even understand they have to make a choice between the offspring of the serpent or the offspring of the woman. And then therefore, on a daily basis, you have a person that's not living with the purpose that God would have them live with. Because on a daily basis, if you understand you're of the offspring of the woman and you're battling the offspring of the serpent, then you're going to put on your armor. You're going to go to battle each day. You're going to understand that the enemy, Satan, is trying to devour us. And I need to be aware of what's going on around me. I need to be alert, as Peter writes. Alert. So when you come into your daily life and you understand your identity and your purpose in this manner, like Daniel, then whatever those trials are, you understand that you're a representative of God and you're going to stand in them. But the child or the person that doesn't think about these things nor understand them is very unlikely to have this type of faith. I don't even think it would be possible, because those trials are going to overwhelm them. With the parable of the sower, they're more likely going to be of the first three. The seed that falls along the wayside, where Satan just comes and rips it from their heart. Or the stony, there's no depth of the roots, so any type of adversity is just going to rip the plant up. Or the thorniness that falls among the thorns, it's going to get choked out by the cares of the world. If we want to be good soil, we have to understand our identity and purpose. And if we teach our children that they are the offspring of the woman and give them understanding of what that means and show them that victory in Christ has already happened, we have it. Now, it may be confusing at times because God is allowing Satan for just in a period of time to where it seems as if he has maybe some short-term victories. That may be confusing, but they're going to understand when they come into deeper knowledge of the Scriptures and they see how Genesis to Revelation fits together. They're going to come to that understanding eventually, but on a daily basis, they got to see that it's an honor to serve God and appreciate that honor and then step into that spiritual warfare each and every day. And when we do that, when they do that, then everything that happens is seen with a different perspective. So when these trials come, or these difficult situations, or adversity comes, instead of saying, poor me, God, why are you doing this to me? It becomes an opportunity to bear fruit for the kingdom of men. And just like we talked about with Daniel, God has not created us with the purpose of having a quiet, private faith. I mean, what if Daniel had just rationalized, well, I'll just keep my faith. I mean, you know, think about it with the prayer. When the decree had come out that they couldn't pray to God, Daniel could have kept praying and nobody would have known. But that's not why Daniel was there, to have a quiet, private faith. He understood that he was there to impact men, impact people. And so he continued as he always had. And because he did impact people. And he impacted kings, and he impacts us still today. But that's because Daniel understood his identity and his purpose. And he was willing to take those risks and trust God and stand firm in the faith. So when we think about our role, whether it's just individually, our own faith, and what God expects of us, or if we think about those of us being parents or grandparents that have a responsibility in teaching those that belong to God that He has made us stewards over, or those of us that do have influence, whether it be the erring or the godless, we're all in this together, and to some degree, we all have to take this into the way that we teach and then the way that we work with others. Because if we just give them knowledge, or as when education level one, Webb's depth of knowledge, just comprehension level, that's not going to cultivate a faith that can stand under the test of life, the trials, the adversities, the persecution, the suffering. It'll fold. We must go deeper. So with those stories, there's got to be context. And then there's got to be connection to the message. And that builds the type of understanding that can be connected with identity and a purpose to where we can be unshakable. And we can become people that bear fruit for the kingdom of God daily and weekly and monthly. And we impact and influence others to do just the same. And that's what we're here to do. The kingdom of God impacting the kingdom of men. And as we work together, we're going to be more fruitful. So like I said, we had a very successful Bible school. A lot of seeds were planted. So that's a good foundation. And in the work that you're doing here or with other young people or the community, the foundation, of course, is crucial. But within our teaching, we have to determine how can we go from that foundation to helping people understand this is our identity. This is our purpose. And when we figure that out in these different situations, then we're going to cultivate or give an opportunity for this person or these people to cultivate a faith that will be able to stand under trial. A faith that will change communities, change congregations, and change the kingdom of men. And that's what we should be striving for together. If y'all will pray with me, these thoughts are ours, but let's go to our God in heaven. Dear Father, we thank you for this evening and this opportunity to come together and to consider examples like Daniel and your word and the revelation that you put before us, Father. And I just ask that you would prepare our minds and hearts, not only today, but each day, to understand our identity and our purpose, Father, and then help us carry that over into everything that we do, understanding the spiritual warfare that is before us, and then as we have influence others, Father, help us to know how to take people from your word and build a foundation to a place where they understand who they belong to and what you expect of them, Father. And it's difficult, Father, working with people of the world and the worldly minded. So please, Father, give us patience and give us courage and give us boldness and help us sustain the works that have been put before us, Father, and know that if we lean on you, we have all the strength. We have everything that we could possibly need to do the work that you would have us do, Father. We thank you that you're an almighty love, God, that cares for us and loves us, Father. And we just thank you. And I just ask that you would bless each and every one of us here this evening, Father. And I ask this in your Son's name. Amen.